spend a few moments this morning thinking about kindness. Kindness. You know, we've sung lots of different songs this morning, but all of them talk about the goodness of God. And a little bit later on, we'll look at a word, a Hebrew word, which kind of encapsulates all kinds of ideas, but it can be translated as kindness or loving kindness. Well, I'm guessing you all got up in the morning and turned to the person next to you. That's, of course, unless you live alone. And you said to them, well, happy random acts of kindness day to you. And then you got out of bed and done something unexpected and random as an act of kindness to another person. Well, in case you didn't know it, today, the 17th of February, is designated Random Acts of Kindness Day. So there you go, you've got an opportunity today to do something good for someone else. Yes, all right, no, don't worry. No, it's fine, absolutely fine. Yeah, put that in your mouth, yeah. The Random Acts of Kindness Foundation was formed in 1995, so we're talking about a little over 20 years ago, coming up for 25 years, in Denver, Colorado. Why Denver, you ask? Maybe it's a particularly unkind place. I don't know, I can't comment. But the idea behind random acts of kindness is that you, in another kind of more recent phrase, is you pay forward something good to other people in order to promote a better and a kinder world. Some of you may have seen a film called Pay It Forward, which was about a young boy who was suffering from a particular illness, who actually found that if he was kind to other people, then other people were kind to him. It's an interesting idea, isn't it? So I want us to think about what it means to be kind this morning, and what might the Bible or the Christian tradition have to say about kindness? Well, I'm sure we could all think what kindness means. I guess a formal definition of it would be the quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate. Well, just look sideways at the person next to you. I don't know if they look like a kind person to you or not. It has been said, hasn't it? People will forget mainly what you say to them, but they will never forget the way you made them feel. They'll never forget the way you made them feel. And if they're kind to you, I guess they will make you feel good, or they'll make you feel loved or valued. And a kindness is a kind act. It's about how we treat other people. It's about how we treat those external to ourselves. We can, of course, extend that to say it's about how we treat the whole of the external world. Kindness actually can also be about how we treat ourselves. Sometimes we can be kind to others, but forget to be kind to ourselves. For the last 2 weeks, Linda talked about abiding in the vine, being close to the life of Jesus. And Stuart last week talked about the Trinity and how we can live in the divine flow of God's love and power. And of course, I think supremely we see kindness in God. Sometimes it doesn't feel as if God is kind, maybe, when we read certain parts of the Bible. Maybe when our lives are not working as we would like them to, it doesn't feel as if God is kind. But overwhelmingly in the songs that we've sung this morning, we've sung about the love and the goodness of God. And if kindness is love in action, then God, I believe, is supremely kind. If you read through the Bible, as many of you will have done from time to time, as you read those early stories in the book of Genesis, you see the word kindness coming out often, usually in the context of how things are working out and how people have treated each other. In the rather alarming story of Lot and the destruction of Sodom, when two angels come and implore Lot and his family to leave the city, as they go away, Lot says to these people, "You've been so kind to me in rescuing me from destruction. Please, could we just go to this small village nearby, and can you make sure that that doesn't get destroyed?" He describes their actions as kindness. Abraham, the great father of faith and of the nation of Israel, through whom all the nations of the world will be blessed, makes a treaty with Abimelech, who is a Philistine king. And in that treaty, Abimelech charges Abraham to show kindness to him in the way that he has shown kindness to Abraham. In the country where he now resides as a foreigner, he is to show the same kindness to the people who have welcomed him and protected him. Later in the story of Abraham, when he sends a servant to find a wife for Isaac, the servant praises God's kindness in the success of his mission when he comes across Rebekah at a well. Naomi, in the story of Naomi and Ruth, commends Ruth's kindness for sticking by her rather than going away from her. And later in that story, if you know the story, when Ruth, a foreigner, comes to live in Israel, in Bethlehem, an older man called Boaz shows an interest in her. And Ruth is described by him as being kind because she did not run after the younger men. Kindness is the action of blessing another, of seeking their good, even of protecting them from harm. Now, it is playing with words a little bit, but when we say the word kind, we may think of the quality of being kind, but we can also use the word kind as a way of describing or classifying a type of something. In Genesis, in the story of creation, in that great poem which covers the emergence of the heavens and the earth and the plants and the animals, it says that they came about according to their kind. Trees and plants came from the earth according to their kind. Animals appeared according to their various kinds. And of course, it's a source, isn't it, of much interest to think about what sort of animals there may have been and whether or not there were dinosaurs amongst those animals and whether they look the same as they look today. When we get to the story of Noah, Noah is charged with bringing pairs of animals into the ark according to their kinds. One pair, male and female, of all the unclean animals, and seven pairs of male and female of all the clean animals. I wonder if you realize that. The animals went in two by two. I suppose that's strictly speaking true. But there were seven pairs of the clean animals. So kind can mean a classification. They're not our kind of people, somebody may say. He's a different kind. She's a different kind of person to me. And of course, in the story of humanity, this is a plate from an old book. It kind of shows the classification of human beings, different varieties of mankind, as it says. Interesting to note who is front and center. White European people. And we can use that word, kin, which is taken from kindred, to denote people who are related to us, or people like us, particularly if we're in the deep south of America. We talk about our kin, don't we? It's not a word we use in West Lancashire. Kith and kin is a phrase which means friends and family, people that we know and people to whom we are related. Controversially, I'm going to say that we're usually kind to our own kind, although of course we can be as cruel as possible to people who are of our own family. But we are usually kind to our own kind. But the question that I want to ask is, are we kind to those who are not of our kind? In the letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, there's a chapter which is much loved by wedding planners, particularly in the church. It's a chapter which talks about the supremacy of love. It says that love is the key, that without love, any words or knowledge or wisdom or faith or acts or giving that we might perform are worthless. They are worthless. They're no more than an irritating noise. And Paul then goes on to explain what love looks like. So in 1 Corinthians 13, this is a passage that we will read together. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, or can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Paul goes on to say, love never ends. And however love is expressed, is demonstrated in enduring, hopeful, protective, trusting, patience, kindness, humility, calmness, and other centeredness. Well, you can see where I'm going with this, because Paul says love is kind. Love is kind. Which is why I chose the image for the front of the newsletter this week, which is a quote from a South African clinical psychologist. I thought I might have got a whoop at that point. A South African clinical psychologist, Henk Swanepoel. Don't know if that's how you say it. Kindness is love made visible. Kindness is love made visible. Now, here's a question. How can we demonstrate our love for others? Through our actions and words, which communicate our desire for their good, for their well-being, their growth and their development. One of the songs we sang this morning is called Tear Down the Walls. And it's a song which actually has one of the biggest visions I think we ever sing about, which is the restoration of all things to God. All of creation returning to the Creator. And it tells us, it invites us to think about how we can get rid of the walls which separate us from people around us who have no knowledge of the goodness and the love of God. It invites us to be God's hands and feet in the world, to go to places where people are in need, to go to places where people don't experience that love. It's kind of a massive vision, isn't it? The walls that the song is talking about, of course, are not physical walls like these walls, but they're the walls that we build between ourselves and each other. Because maybe we just stick with the people who are like us. We stick with our own kind. We might have the occasional foray into other places, but we feel the most comfortable where we feel the most accepted and the most like other people. The idea behind random acts of kindness is simply to do something which breaks through that cycle of what people are expecting, something that makes somebody's day better by a surprising or unexpected action, which you do for them for nothing. Some of the examples you'll find on their website is to pay for the person behind you in the drive-thru. You can tell this is American. Which leads me to worry. How do you know what they're going to order? I mean, you've just ordered a Big Mac and fries and, a milkshake. Do you assume that they're going to order the same and pay for that? And when they get there, it's really embarrassing because they order more. Perhaps the safest way, Tony Campolo, some of you will know of him. He talked about something similar in his experience when he was going through a toll on a bridge when he was paying the fee to get across the bridge. He would pay for the car behind him as well because he knew exactly how much that was. And then as he drove away, he'd enjoy looking in his rearview mirror to see the slight confusion and amusement on the face of the driver of the next car. You could let somebody go ahead of you in a queue. It's official highway code recommended practice, isn't it, that you kind of zip in, one, let one in, another one, let one in. It really does work. But sometimes, I'm edging forward. I'm keeping so close to the bumper of the man behind me. Or if you're in a supermarket queue, you know, you're pushing your trolley forward so no one can come in. You could post anonymous sticky notes validating your fellow workers or friends with uplifting messages. You could compliment somebody on their work. You could encourage others by sending them an encouraging text randomly. You could take muffins to work, if you know what muffins are. My wife is such a great baker, but muffins have always eluded her. The muffin story is that she watched Delia Smith, and muffins are so easy to make. They're going to be the death of fairy cakes. And she made muffins three times, and on three occasions, for some reason, she forgot to put something in. So they never worked out. Sorry, Eva. Maybe it's time to try on the muffins again. All those different things that you can think of that you could do which could make somebody else's day better. And I got to thinking, well, random acts of kindness is great, isn't it? Something unexpected which is going to show somebody that they are valued, that somebody cares about them, that somebody's thinking about them. But also there need to be planned acts of kindness, don't there? There need to be consistent acts of kindness. In fact, for people who claim to love God and follow Jesus, then kindness must be a characteristic which is we are shot through with, like the rock, the name of Blackpool in Blackpool Rock. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit, or an aspect of the fruit of the Spirit that Paul talks about. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. In the Bible, the word kindness is often translated as such, but interchangeably with other words like mercy, goodness, favor, or loving kindness. And the Hebrew word for this is the word hesed, which can be variously spelt, but we say hesed. And it's a much deeper thing than, you know, just I was kind to a person because I gave them my parking ticket, which still had half an hour on it, and that meant that they could park free for half an hour. The kindness that hesed indicates is a promised kindness, what we mean when we talk about a covenantal kindness, something which is a binding and lasting promise. God shows this kind of kindness because God has promised to do so. Just a couple of instances of the use of that in the Bible. In Psalm 51, which is the aftermath of David's terrible behavior in his adulterous relationship with Bathsheba and then his murderous action in getting Bathsheba's husband killed, he appeals to God when he says, you know, it's only against you that I've sinned. I've done all kinds of terrible things. He says, have mercy on me according to your loving kindness, according to your hesed. And God forgives David's terrible behavior and mitigates some of the circumstances and consequences of his actions. There are occasionally times when there are verses in the Bible which I think are kind of more luminous than others, and I know there's a danger with that. If you believe that all scripture is inspired by God, it's useful in different ways. But Micah 6 verse 8 to me is one of those great luminous scriptures. Micah has been asking the question, how do I please God? What do I come before God with? Shall I offer my sacrifices? Will rivers of oil do it? Even shall I sacrifice my child to keep God happy? The answer is no. God is not interested in sacrifices, which is an interesting thought, but rather in justice, mercy, and humility. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. You might see it printed on various bags and other Christian trivia. The word that is used for mercy there is the word hesed. And sometimes the verse can be translated like this. Act justly, love kindness. Love kindness and walk humbly with our God. So I believe at the heart of what God wants from people who are serious about connection with God, about being in the divine flow, about being fruitful because they are connected to Jesus, is the whole issue of being kind. Now, we know, don't we, that kindness sometimes is demonstrated in ways which can feel negative to the other person. It's not always kind to give a child, particularly, or an adult, for that matter, everything that they may want, particularly if it's a certain kind of food. I mentioned McDonald's before. You know, some children would live off McDonald's if you let them, but you're introducing all kinds of problems to them in their diet and their well-being if that's what you do. Too much of most things is bad for you. You may have heard the phrase, you know, she killed him with kindness. Yeah, he died overweight of a serious heart episode in his 60s because his wife just fed him everything all the time. Maybe you've seen dogs who are being killed by kindness or other family pets. Sometimes kindness is actually about, isn't it, denying people something because that's the best thing for them. You may have heard the phrase, you have to be cruel to be kind. Though I think persons of a certain disposition actually like that idea. Oh, I can be cruel to be kind here. But maybe we have to be cruel to be kind sometimes to help someone overcome an addiction or a destructive habit by not giving them what they want, but rather helping them to break away from what is destroying them. Our kindness needs to be not giving them what they think they want, but giving them what they need, which is actually much harder. But generally speaking, in a world where people daily experience unkindness or just live in a monotonous kind of grey experience which drones on from day to day, kindness can be the medicine which brings healing and hope to others. So let me ask myself this question. Who am I kind to? Am I just kind to the people who are kind to me? Am I just kind to people who are like me? In our values, we talk about loving God, loving others, and loving all that God loves. We talk about creating a community of people, a community of care, about everybody finding their place in God. So if we love all that God loves, if we love God and love others, it has to be more than just loving people who are like us, doesn't it? It has to be about reaching out beyond that. Luke 6, 35 and 36. You're probably getting sick of me quoting this one. But it says, love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. That's the same word has said, be merciful. You could say, be kind as God is kind. And I think God is kind to all of the creation. God is kind to all in his dealings with all creation. So our kindness needs to look beyond sameness. It needs to look beyond those who we think are the same as us. It needs to include those who we think of as being other than us. And I think in a bigger sense, if in the end we believe that the cosmos and everything in it has its origin in God, then however we understand the badness in the world and the things that have gone wrong, then this cosmos, which God so loves that he sent Jesus, has to be something that we care about. We are part of what in medieval times they called the great chain of being, which includes all things, from rocks all the way through to God, including animals, plants, humans, beings of other kinds. And we share, don't we, this planet with billions of other creatures. And together with them, we depend on the health of this earth for our survival and well-being. So I think our kindness has to go beyond just being kind to humans, but also being kind to animals and to the environment, being kind to the planet, where the balance of the natural world is crucial to the future of life on Earth. And incidentally, I don't think that some of the verses in the Bible that talk about the Earth being burned up and destroyed give us any excuse for not caring for it. Because I think the overwhelming trajectory of what Jesus talked about and what the Bible talks about is a new heaven and a new earth. And that new heaven and that new earth is something that we can be working towards now. The kingdom of heaven is not all in the future. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're asking for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And surely what heaven would like is what heaven has planned for the future. And that is what we need to be preparing for. I think it goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. Jesus was kind. Jesus included the excluded. He spent his time with all those people that others left out or saw as unclean. And again, in one of those luminous passages, the parable of the sheep and the goats, Jesus identifies with the hungry, the sick, the destitute, and the prisoner. He says that whenever anyone was kind to those people less fortunate than themselves, they were kind to him. Jesus casts himself in the distressing disguise of the sick, the prisoner, the destitute. I want to finish this morning with playing you a song. The song is called "I Think It's Going to Rain Today," which may or may not be true, in meteorologically speaking. But if you know this song, it's quite an old song. It's a song that's been sung by quite a number of different people. But it's a song which talks about the need for kindness in a world where loneliness, isolation, and need are too often the norm. It was written by a man called Randy Newman and has been, as I say, performed by many different artists. But it's asking us not to kick the can down the street, but to be those people who have kindness towards, yes, the needy, but kindness towards each other. One of the lines is the song, "Human kindness is overflowing. I think it's going to rain today." And certainly in the context of what I believe and what I hope you believe too, we can be the rain of heaven's kindness in the world. You know, whenever you're preparing to speak on a Sunday morning, you know, you want it to be something significant, don't you? You want it to be something even revelatory. But sometimes it's as plain as the nose on your face, isn't it? That some of the most basic things which a child can understand are the deepest things, the most mysterious things, in the sense that a mystery is something that you can continually go on understanding and never getting to the bottom of. And I believe the kindness that God shows to us and the kindness that God wants us to show to others is that kind of deep, extremely simple mystery. So, the version of the song that I'm going to play is by Nina Simone. But while we listen to that, I want to show you the work of a Brazilian photographer called Angélica Das. Now, I have shown you some of her pictures before, but this is a short animation in which she documents in photographic form all the different colors and shapes of humankind. Now, just so you understand what it is, she takes the standard color palette, which is called Pantone, and all the colors that go to that, and she labels each of these people with one of those. And what I find extraordinary about this is that people of completely different racial heritage and face shape and all the things that go along with that actually come out as the same color in the end. So maybe as we do this, let's listen and watch, let's ask ourselves how we can be kind, yes, to the people who are like us, who are near to us, but how can we be kind to others who are not like us? How can we be kind to those on the other side of the world potentially? And let's aim to make it our journey to spread kindness and to be the rain of heaven wherever we go. Maybe we could turn these lights off. That would be great. Thank you very much. And Josh, when you're ready, if you want to just play the track.
Broken windows and empty hallways, A pale dead moon in a sky streaked with gray. Human kindness is overflowing, and I think it's gonna rain today. Scarecrows dressed in the latest styles, with frozen faces to keep love away. Human kindness is overflowing, and I think it's gonna rain today. I think I'll kick it down the street. Tin can at my feet. I think I'll kick it down the street. Why not? That's a way to treat a friend. Right before me, the signs implore me, help the needy and show them the way.
Just pray. And at the end of the service, if you want prayer for anything, the prayer team will be here. Well, let's pray. So may we be kind as God is kind. May we be the rain of heaven's kindness, because we have embraced our identity as human beings, made in the image and likeness of a kind God, a relating God, a community God. May our kindness overflow. May others' lives be enriched because we choose every day to express the chesed of heaven. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Time for a drink and a biscuit.